Good morning to you. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Good. It's a nice, cool, crisp day out there. Finally fall is here, right? Yes. Friday night was cold, though. I'm not going to lie. I was cold. I'm thankful for those big generated lights that we have out there because they put off a lot of heat when you stand behind them. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to continue with our Sermon on the Mount. We're almost done, but now we are getting to the heart of what Jesus is going to push, the meat of what he really wants us to hear. And today's challenge for us as part of his sermon is going to be interesting because it puts us in a spot that in our world that they don't want us to be. You are going to find today that you have a right, almost a responsibility, to look at teachers, preachers, leaders, and really each other and see what kind of fruit we're bearing. Now, I know what you're thinking, but we're not supposed to judge. I'm not sure that you're going to find that in Scripture. Not the way that we always teach it or think it or have always believed it. You're going to find Jesus in his very own words saying, hey, watch out for these guys and you will know them by their fruit. So right there, you're going to see in Scripture, Jesus' own words giving us the right and responsibility to actually look at how people live and why they live the way that they live. Not so that we just discount them and don't do anything with them, but that we keep them at a safe spot and keep our eye on them and pay attention. Are you ready? So 2 weeks ago, by the way, did you enjoy last week? That was a good service. It was a great service. I was so glad the way that it turned out. If you didn't come, you absolutely missed it. It was a fantastic service. It was a great day of celebration. And so I was glad that you showed up and supported that. But the week before that, we talked about this very thought, that your path determines your destination. We talked about the narrow gate and the wide gate. And that the world says that the wide gate is the easiest way, that's the way to go. And it is easy. It's way easier. Because the narrow gate is that obscure, hard to find. You got to search for it. And it's a difficult path. The path that we have chosen to live as believers, as followers of Christ, is not meant to be easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But it's meant to be a little bit difficult to where we don't depend on our own strength and our own knowledge and our own wisdom. But it forces us to go to the one who knows best, the one that gives us the strength, the courage, the power to do and to walk this straight and narrow path. It's intentional in his wording. It's intentional of what he's trying to teach us. And on this straight and narrow and on this wide path, he says, listen, you need to pay attention to a few things. And the one of the things that we should pay attention to are the fruit that people bear. He says fruit reveals roots. The fruit that we see, the fruit that people show us and how they treat each other and how they live their life, that is what we're looking at. And you can call it what you want, but we are looking and examining. I'm not casting judgment. I'm just noticing what I see and making informed decisions for myself. I can't judge anybody. I'm not a judge to sentence them to heaven or to hell or to jail or not to jail. That's not my job. But I can look at people and say, I have to be careful with that person. Would you not want your children to do that? We teach our children, stranger danger. Oh, but you just taught them to judge. So the problem is we can't have the argument both ways. Either we're allowed to look and watch people and see how they live and make informed decisions based on that, or we're not. Jesus says we should look and pay attention because there are dangerous people out there that will look good on the outside and say all the right things. But when we look deep at their heart, the root of who they are, we will find that the fruit that comes from those roots are not conducive to be followed. Or conducive of Christian living. That seems so harsh, doesn't it? If you could take a step back, take a deep breath, and think about what is at stake here. What is at stake here? Is it my feelings and their feelings? Or is it my spiritual well-being of trying to accomplish all that I can for a holy God? I'm not asking us to be rude people. I'm not asking us to say, well, they're that way, so we can't ever talk to them or ever be around them. I'm asking you to be wise in your dealings with people that do not live according to the way that we live. That's all I'm asking. I think that's all that Jesus suggests. So let's get into the scripture. Let's see what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. You guys with me already? You okay? Here's what it says. Beware of false prophets. It's pretty self-explanatory. He says, pay attention. You've got to be on guard. There are people out there that will promote themselves as one thing, but they really are something else. He says, beware of that. In other words, pay attention. Be sober-minded. See what's going on around you. He doesn't say avoid them. He doesn't say just stay away from them. He says just be aware that there are people that are out there that are like this. And look what else he says. He says, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. He says, here's how it's going to work. You might end up at a church one day or under a teaching one day where the guy that's teaching sounds really good. Everything he says kind of matches up with what you know to be true and what resonates within you. But he's really covering up who he really is deep inside. That's scary to me. That should unnerve you a little bit. It should cause us to always be on point and watching and paying attention and not just to assume that the guy standing on the stage has it all together and he's perfect. Because he's not, and he doesn't. Nor do we need to live lives like what Jesus just described. Because the false prophets do not have to be those that are standing on a stage and teaching. A false prophet can be someone who claims to be one thing and lives a different life. So it's easy for us to think, well, Jesus is just talking about televangelists. Or these big preachers that have these big churches. He's not talking about these little churches because those guys are legit. Please be careful. Please be aware of who's leading you. But I would also challenge you, be aware of who you're leading and how you're leading them. He says, you will know them. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. That for me gives me the right and responsibility to pay attention to those that I am walking with to see how they live. Does it match what they say? Now, again, that goes against what our world teaches us. We should not judge. Jesus puts it differently. He just says, pay attention, be aware, and you will be able to know those that are ravenous wolves that may sound really nice by the fruit that come from their lives. It's not based on how eloquent they may be on the stage or the presentation that they present to you. It is based on how they live their life out regularly. Pay attention to that. He says, do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Does that make sense? No, we don't do that. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, I'm not going to insult your intelligence and explain that to you. That is common sense to us. An apple tree will never bear oranges. A potato plant will never bring about bananas. It doesn't work that way. Jesus says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So he states the obvious on both sides to make sure that everybody understands what he's saying. There's no way that a bad tree can bear good fruit. And it's almost impossible. If it's a good tree, it's not going to bear bad fruit. Why? Because the root system is where it's supposed to be. It's dug deep into the soil of Christianity, in following Christ, in the Word, in understanding what God wants for us. And those roots are nourished. And because those roots are nourished, it produces a healthy tree. And from that healthy tree, you will know it by its fruit. You see, the fruit is what is exposed, but it reveals what is not. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's a big statement. Therefore, again, our right and responsibility comes back up. By their fruits, you will know them. Now, I could go off on many different tangents, and let me just say this really quick. It's going to be hard for us to be fruit inspectors if we don't even know the fruit that we're looking for. We've got to be educated. We've got to be in tune with the Spirit of God, our own selves. That's kind of going back to the first part of Matthew chapter 7 where Seth talked about, I can't help you if I'm not in a good place. I've got to make sure that I'm in a good place to where I can come walk beside you. To where you can see the fruit of my labor, of what God is doing in me, till you can trust me to tell me what's going on and I can walk with you. But if I'm not privy or understanding of what those fruit look like, how in the world am I going to be able to examine it? We've got to know. We've got to know ourselves what that looks like, what that means. So let's talk about that today. So let's start with the false prophets. False prophets were running rampant. They were all just trying to say one thing, but secretly they were living something else. And it could have been that he was referring to a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees of that day, because they had all the knowledge and they sounded really good, but they were taking people in the wrong direction. And then there were other leaders that would just pop up in the day that would sound really good, be closely related to what was being taught, but they were heading in different directions. I mean, look at the children of Israel all through the Old Testament. What happened to them? They got suckered into these false religions. Why? Because it sounded really good. But the fruit that was being born was not. It did not reveal a solid following of God. So the false prophets, Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. You will know by the person that is leading you or you're following or you're allowing to teach you. You will know whether they're a good tree or a bad tree based on the fruit that they produce. You have the right and responsibility. In fact, I would strongly encourage you, don't just listen to me on a Sunday morning and say he's got it all together. Come hang out with me for a week. Come spend life with me. Make sure that I am who I say I am up here while I'm living out there. Because that's important. I don't want you to blindly follow me. Just like I don't want you to blindly follow God. It is so imperative. Next week we're going to talk about, oh man, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But he talks about, listen, I did all these good things for you. And he looks at them and says, that's fine, but I never knew you. Get to know one another. Figure each other out. That's what church is all about. We walk together. We don't want to be ravenous wolves covered up with nice things and leading people astray. We want to hold each other accountable. We want to do life together. And we want to have the fruit that is representative of the roots that God is digging deep within us. Spend time with us. Come ask us questions. Go to dinner with us. I'll come wash your house. But spend time. Get to know who's leading you. But not only that, and this is a big one for me, get to know yourself. I realize the age of the group that I'm talking to. And I have this conversation, and my mom's not here yet, regularly with my mother. She gets in this place where she just feels like I'm too old to change. Please don't get there. You're never too old to have God work on you. You're never too old to say, well, I bore the fruit I'm going to bore and bear and I'm done. No, no. You are still alive. You are still moving. You're still growing. You still have opportunity to have an influence on other people. You want to be known by the fruit that you bear. And your fruit is exposed. It's out there. And people see it, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit, and they know it. The problem is, the fruit that they see reveals what's going really on deep down inside of you. What I want to do is we want to come alongside you so you can know who you are in Christ, to where those roots will be strong and healthy, and it will produce this beautiful tree that will produce fruit that people will say, that's a Christ follower. That's what we want. I don't care how old you are. Don't ever use that as an excuse with me, because I will throw it right back at you. My quip is always this: if you're not dead yet, God's not done. You still have work to do. You still have the ability to make subtle changes that will make a big difference in someone else's life. He says fruit inspection is our right and our responsibility. Jesus says that more than once. You will know them by your fruit. Therefore, make sure you pay attention to how they're living and look at the fruit that they're producing. It will reveal who they really are underneath. So when we look at fruit, because this was a big question for us when we were studying through this and thinking about this. What's the fruit? Because it doesn't specify anything. So we could come up with our own fruit. But I think when we go back and when we actually look at the Greek word and try to understand what he's talking about in fruit here, then it helps us understand moving forward what he's talking about. Because Jesus is saying, if we're going to know people and understand them, we can look at the fruit that they bear and determine whether they're safe or not. Whether they're following Christ or not. Whether they're truly sheep or they're sheep or wolves in sheep clothing. So when we look at the fruit, the noun version of this in the Greek is karpos. And it's moral characteristics. So we're looking for people that are moral. Now, unfortunately, in our age that we live in, it's all about moral relativism. Whatever is comfortable, whatever you feel like, whatever feels good. And we have to get away from that. We have to guard ourselves against that. Because there is a moral code that exists in this book of letters and stories and history that helps us understand what moral characteristics should look like. And those are the moral characteristics that we should be revealing if our roots are deep in Him. Amen? That's the way it should be. It's the way it's supposed to be. That's what Jesus is referring to. So when I think about that, I think about, okay, where's a verse that captures all of that? That captures this whole moral characteristic of what it should be. And we land at Micah 6:8. Again, I preach this verse all the time. It's a life verse for me because it embodies everything that we as believers should be. He says, but he's shown you, oh man, what is good. But what does the Lord require of you? It's a simple question. Micah says, look, he's already shown us. And what is it that God has shown us that he's asking of us? He says, to do justly. Do what's right. We don't have to have a moral code sitting in front of our face to tell us, to inform us of what is right and wrong. The problem is we are looking at the wrong code. We're looking at Facebook, we're looking at the internet, we're looking at our government, we're looking at the other worlds, we're looking at our neighbors, we're looking at ourselves and whatever feels good. And Jesus says, no, I've already shown you what is good. Do what is right. Not what you feel is right, not what is convenient in the moment, but what you know to be right deep within your roots of the system that God is brewing within you. Do what is right. There's no wiggle in that. And then he says, be kind. Love to be merciful. Love kindness. Be kind to other people. So for me, fruit that I look for is, does this person generally do what is right? And I throw generally in there is, the reason is because we're all sinners. We're going to get fouled up. We're going to make some dumb decisions. We're going to get caught up in the moment. But what we do in that moment is different. But generally speaking, do they normally do what is expected by God and what is right? And then how do they treat other people? And I'm not talking about the easy people in here. I'm talking about the neighbor with the dog, remember? I'm talking about the person behind you in Walmart line with a kid that's just going nuts. I'm talking about the person that just caught you off while you were driving. I'm talking about the coworker that is always one-upping you, stealing your ideas, and getting the raises over you. That's the people I'm talking about. What do you do in those instances? Are you able to be kind? And then he says, who walks humbly with God? So do what is right, love mercy, and then just simply recognize your place in Christ and walk the best that you can. Again, listen, we're not expecting perfection. God's not expecting perfection, but what he is asking for is try it. Do the best that you can, go after it as hard as you can, and try for perfection. Try to get it right. And those, for me, are the easy way. The moral characteristics that we can see that, okay, yeah, that person may be a follower of Christ because of the fruit that I'm seeing through that. But there's more to it. In the second part of this noun, it also looks at the spiritual characteristics that comes with our relationship with Jesus, our trust and our faith with him. So not only do I have this outside stuff that people can physically see, but there's an internal change that happens with me that bears fruit. And we go to Galatians chapter 5. Because Galatians chapter 5 outlines the things we should not do and the things that we should do. And so if I am a person that has strong roots in the Lord, that I'm growing, that my fruit is going to represent what is going on within me, we find what the fruit of the Spirit is. Says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will or shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's pretty straightforward, right? If I am always walking with God, the likelihood of me fulfilling my own fleshly desires is zero to none. Which says a lot about how we walk. He says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. So we see the internal battle that is always within us. And these are contrary to one another. They don't mix. They will never be okay to coexist. It's always going to be a battle. So if you're sitting here this morning wondering, why am I always embattled? Why am I always torn down? Why am I always struggling? Maybe it's because you're trying to ride the fence and have both lives inside. Paul says, can't happen. If you're trying to have the Spirit of God, it cannot exist where your flesh exists. It's got to be one or the other. He says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and faithfulness. That's the fruit that we're looking for. Those are the things that we want to see exuding out of us in the hard-pressed moments. When everything is bearing down on you, do you just flip out and react and go crazy and swear at everybody and just lose your mind? Or are you able to take a deep breath, take a step back and say, okay, wait a second. What is this really about? What can I do differently here? How can I allow what I know to be true, what I want to be true in me, that the roots of Christ are deep within me and I'm supposed to be this beautiful tree? How can I allow the fruit that I know God wants to be producing through me show up right here? And it's a submission to a holy God, allowing his Spirit to guide us and to work in us. He says, against such things, there's no law. There's no law against loving people. There's no law in being patient and kind with people. There's no law in being faithful. There's no law in being gentle. So these things that should be growing within us, this fruit that the Spirit produces within us because of the healthy roots in the tree that we've become, represent what God is doing within us, because I can't do those on my own. I am not naturally patient. I'm not. I'm not naturally gentle. I'm not naturally always kind. I have to battle that. I feel that war within me all the time. I know when I'm supposed to be doing this, but I really want to do this. Amen? And what I want is what comes out, what is seen, what is experienced outside of me to represent what I know is going on inside of me. Because the fruit that I bear reveal the roots that are deep within me. So I'm hoping that you're thinking, okay, where are my roots? What kind of fruit am I bearing? How can I do this? What changes do I need to make? God, reveal to me, are my roots solid? Are my fruit representative of the roots that are within me? If we go a little bit different route and go to the verb form of kind of bearing fruit, it's carpophoreo. That's an awesome word, right? It says nurturing of godly virtues as a result of exposure to the Word of God. So there's another portion to this whole bearing fruit or showing forth the fruit. It's when we are exposed to the Word of God, like you're being exposed today, and you hear a truth or God pricks your mind and says, hey, pay attention to that. This is what I've been trying to tell you. This is what I want you to work on. Hey, look at this. Hopefully you get those moments. That's where you log that away or write it down or sit on it all week and allow God to nurture that within you to enrich the soil that the roots are that are already there so that they can become stronger in order to make the tree more beautiful, to produce the necessary fruit so that others will know for sure that you are a follower of Christ. That's what we're looking for. That's what we want for you. That's what we want you to see in us. And we want to see that in you. We want to know that when we are around you, that the fruit that's there is true to what's going on inside of you. That's the only way we can know. Some of you literally think we can see within your heart and know whether you're saved or not. We have no such power. We have the same eyes and the same instinct that you have. We have the same intuition that God has blessed us with, that he's given you, to look at people and figure out where they're at. That sounds so judgmental, doesn't it? But Jesus said, pay attention. There are so many people out there that look like they've got it together, but they are ravenous wolves. And you got to pay attention to that. So as we are exposed to the Word of God, we are challenged to nurture the learned godly value. You ever get that feeling, that weird feeling like the pastor knew exactly what I was thinking? Or, man, he was preaching to me today. I can't tell you how many times I always hear that. So when you feel that, ignore me and go straight to God. Because I have no idea what you're going through. But God does. And so when you hear something in a sermon or it piques your interest and there's a kind of a nervousness or an uneasy, unsettled feeling within you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, pay attention. We got something to work on. I want to make you better. I want to take that fruit that's kind of half grown and I want to encourage it. I want to strengthen it. I want to fertilize that joker to where it can be full grown. That's the God we serve. So when you get those uneasy feelings, don't run from them. Don't throw them away. Embrace it. Encourage it. Say, God, what is this about? And be willing to do and nurture whatever it is that he reveals to you. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus said, here's how it works. You want people to know that you are a follower of me? Then love me by following me. That's how it works. And they will know that you don't love me because you're not following me. It's pretty self-explanatory. You want people to know that you're a Christ follower? Stop doing dumb decisions with them. You want people to know what kind of person you are, whether it's a businessman or a businesswoman or a student or a mom or a dad. If you want people to know that you're a Christian in those elements, guess what? Do what is right, be kind to others, and walk humbly with God in those moments. Take the things that you're learning through your personal Bible study or through Grief Share or through our Wednesday night Bible studies or through your Go group or through on a Sunday morning and let them grow and fester within you. Because that's how people are going to know. He goes on to say, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus says, first off, here's how this works. If you want people to know that you're a Christ follower, to see the fruit that is supposed to represent, love me first. Follow me first. But if you really want people to know that you're a Christ follower, the second thing you need to be doing is loving others. The way that I've loved you, I need you to love them. That's bearing fruit. Can I ask an honest question? I really want you to think about this. Why is it so hard for us to love other people? Why is that? Pastor Allen, you don't know what I've been through. Okay. Did we watch Jesus in his life? Do we read the stories of the mistreatment and all of the misdealings that he had all the way through? And yet, he still loved people enough. But you don't understand what they've done to me. You don't understand how they've treated me. You don't understand what I've experienced. You're right, I don't. And I wish that you didn't have to experience that. But what if? What if for one second you could remove yourself from your terrible situation, remove your vision from you to what God can do through those opportunities to reach other people? You see, the problem with us loving God first and others second is we can't get the vision off ourselves first. If we can reroute our vision to loving God for who he really is, and then for loving others the way that he has loved them, then we will be where we need to be with ourselves. It goes back to who are we? It causes us to take a deeper look into who we are, and we don't like doing that. We just say the prayer, get baptized, and God's just fixed everything. Good luck with that. God can. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. However, we have a responsibility in all this. We have a responsibility to go after him while we deny ourselves. Luke 3:8. Love this verse. I want you to see this. He's talking to, I don't remember who he's talking to. Sorry. Let me go back and look really quick. My brain just left me. Oh, this is John the Baptist talking. That's right. So these are those that are coming out to be baptized. And he says this thing to them. Therefore, if you're going to do this, if you're going to be baptized and go after Jesus, the one that's coming soon, if that's the life you're going to do, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Now, that might not do anything for you, but that excites the snot out of me. Because that clearly defines how I'm supposed to live after I commit my life to Christ. Fruit worthy of repentance. Repentance is me turning away from sin and self and going towards Christ. So if I am supposed to bear fruit worthy of that, then I will not be who I used to be. I will stop doing the things that created fruit that did not represent this new decision that I'm trying to follow Christ. Fruit worthy of repentance means fruit opposite of what I used to do. Now, we could sit here and go over semantics all day long of, well, it's this and it's this. Here's what I would challenge you to do. Have a conversation with God, because he might tell you exactly what it is. And some of you are sitting here thinking, well, I'm good. I got it all figured out. Those are the ones I'm worried about most. It's when we get too comfortable in our own skin that we are further away from God than we think we are. Listen, I don't like, hear me out, being super close to Jesus. Hear me out. Because the closer I am to him, the more he reveals about me. And the more that he reveals about me, the more work I realize I have to do. But it quickly turns from sadness and overwhelming of the amount of work that I have to do to gladness, because I know on the other side of all this work, this old fruit that was produced that did not represent him very well, that came from the wrong roots, will be cut away. And the roots that are deep within the soil of my soul, he's going to enrich and he's going to strengthen, and it's going to produce new fruit that are more representative of him than me. And so, yes, the closer I get to him, it is painful and it is hard. And sometimes I don't like it. But the more I do, the closer I get, my heart begins to turn and the joy turns from the sadness that once was. The problem is we are too comfortable in our own junk. We're too old. I can't change. It's the way I've always been. I'm always going to be this way. Please don't tell that to God when you get there. Throw that excuse away. Get on your face before holy God and say, okay, God, what is it? What fruit am I producing that's not conducive for this life? And let him do his work. It's scary. It hurts. But man, what's on the other side? You can't find it anywhere. We should be different from who we were. We absolutely should be different from who we were. Who I was last week, I should not be that same person. Who I was a month ago, I should not be that person. Who I was 10 years ago, I can assure you, Charlie can attest, I am not that same person. I was waiting for it. But do you know how I got there? Because I'm awesome. No, it's not because of that at all. But I realized really quick that to accomplish what God called me to accomplish, if I was going to try to do it on my own, I'd probably do okay, but I wouldn't be what I needed to be for him. So I started crawling, crying all the way, painful all the way, but the closer I got, and I was able to stop crawling and start walking a little bit, one step at a time. And the closer that I got, and he started hewing away these bad fruit, and I saw these new fruit being produced, I saw my anger start to dissipate and be a little more patient. I saw my harshness begin to fall off, and I'd be a little more kind and gentle. As I saw these things, my one step at a time turned into two and three at a time. And then it turned into a slow jog. And then it turned into running. And I hate running. I want to be so close to him, I can't even tell you. And there are days I have to stop and take a breath because it's too much. Too much, too hard of work. Too much that's going on. It's too overwhelming. And I have to sit. And I have to wait. And then when he nudges again, guess what? I start crawling again. And work my way back up to a step at a time. And work my way back to two and three steps at a time. Back to the jog, back to the run, back to the break. Listen, this is a journey. It's not even a marathon. Marathons, you're pretty much constantly running. A journey allows you to take the necessary breaks and the breath that you need in order to continue the journey. Journeys allow you to stop at portions of the thing and take in the sights and learn all that you can. This journey is what we are on. And we need to learn to crawl when we need to crawl, to walk when we need to walk, to run when we need to run, but also to stop and take it all in. Take a deep breath. Listen, there are things that are on this journey that are going to knock your feet out from under you, land you flat on your back, and knock all the air out of you. You're not going to know what hit you. However, if we are focused in the right way, if our roots are deep, it will reveal who we truly are, and the fruit that we see, that others see, will allow us to continue to move forward, even in those tough circumstances. The fruit has to come from somewhere. Where does it come from? Spiritual fruit comes from healthy trees. Makes sense, right? You look at fruit trees, you know that a fruit tree is pretty healthy because it has healthy fruit. Well, that healthy tree has to come from somewhere, and that healthy tree has to come from healthy roots. My question to you this morning is, how are your roots? I'm not worried about your fruit today. That will come. I want to know about your roots. Are your roots withered? Are they exposed to the outside circumstances of this world, and it's hindering them from being healthy to produce healthy fruit? Or are they deep within the richness of God, that he covers and protects them. And as he covers and protects them, he nourishes them. He massages them. He strengthens them. He waters them. And because he does that, the roots are healthy, which brings about a healthy tree, which absolutely will bring about the fruit that you absolutely want people to see and to experience. The question is, though, what kind of fruit are you bearing? And what does that say about your roots? Next week, the sermon's going to pretty much almost come to an end, and it's going to be very pointed. It's going to challenge you in a big way. What I want for you this week is to start thinking about, okay, God, where are my roots? Where are my roots truly in your soil? Are you the one that is compacted around it, or are my roots exposed to whatever else I could find? If you could just simply work through that this week, next Sunday's sermon might be a huge eye-opener for you. I'm praying that next Sunday will be a monumental Sunday for many of us. But I'm also praying that today you will allow God to dig deep inside of you to say the fruit that you are bearing either supports your root system or it's counter to what is going on. Let me pray for you this morning. God, I appreciate your word. I appreciate the strength of it. Lord, it causes us, forces us to think through things. Lord, I ask on my friends' behalf that are here this morning that you open our eyes to help us to see what our roots really look like. Help us to be wise in examining others' fruit, to know who are truly ravenous wolves and who are truly sheep. But Lord, may we not be that ravenous wolf. May we be a sheep with strong roots that bear fruit that represent you. May you be gracious and kind to those who have heard you clearly today. May you be patient and diligent in working with them and in guiding them to where they need to land. And will you be as only you can be in preparing our hearts for next Sunday? God, I don't say this lightly. I love you, and I appreciate all that you do. May you be glorified in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming today. Before you leave, I want to remind you, in case you weren't